Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
That every special event lately has been a bit strange. It's all been a little bit different, and Mother's Day is no exception. You know, Easter was a little bit different. If you've had a birthday in the last couple of months, that's been a little bit different, a little bit strange. I had my birthday last week, and don't get me wrong, it was beautiful, it was awesome, I loved it. I got heaped love on me, but it was really different. And Mother's Day is different this year. So many of you would be accustomed to gathering with, you know, or your family and maybe some friends around you, or going to a restaurant. But this year, those things aren't accessible to us. I guess it feels like the whole world right now is in a bit of a season of waiting. We're kind of waiting for things to get back to normal. We're kind of waiting for life to resume in a way that is sort of comfortable to us, that we're familiar with. But when you stop to think about it, when I stopped and thought about it, you realize actually that all of life is full of waiting. All of life is actually full of waiting. We wait to finish school. We wait to finish university. We wait, you know, to find a partner. We wait to get married. We wait to retire. We wait to do that big thing, go on that big trip. If you're a mum out there, you know that mothering is full of waiting. We do all sorts of waiting. We wait on a micro scale. We wait on a macro scale. You know, we wait for silly things like the kids to finish their dinner. We wait for them to find their shoes and those sorts of things. I think mums out there, you know that those types of waiting can be the longest types of waiting in the entire world. You know, do I hear a loud amen? There is nothing quite that could sap your patience like an overtired four-year-old at the end of the day and he refuses or she refuses to eat their vegetables. It's like, for goodness sake, would you just eat the peas? Like, how hard can it be? Just eat the pea. You know, is this sort of infuriating? Maybe I'm just the only one that's impatient, but I don't think so. You know, but as mums, we actually wait on a macro scale too. We wait for our kids to grow and mature. We say things like, you know, when they're a little bit older, we'll do this or that. Or when they've grown a bit, we'll go here or there. Once they go back to school, I'll go back to work. I'll stop putting my dreams on hold. We say all of these types of things. Whether or not you're a mum, it doesn't matter. We all know what it's like to wait. Waiting is not something that we typically enjoy, I don't think. Like, I have never heard somebody say, gee, I love waiting. Like, waiting is my favorite thing. I don't recall ever having heard someone say that. Most of us actually struggle with waiting. Some of us even despise waiting. Now, I think that waiting, it becomes a little bit easier if we have clearly defined parameters around the waiting. Like, if we know when it's going to end, it makes it that much easier to wait. I think that's what's been so hard about this whole COVID-19 season. Nobody really knows how this is going to play out. Nobody really knows how it's going to end. How long will it take for things to get back to normal? Will it ever be normal again? I feel like I don't know how to plan. I feel like my life's kind of on hold and all these sorts of things. If we had a solid end date, we could probably wait a bit better. But it's this uncertainty surrounding the waiting that makes it more challenging. Now, waiting might not ever be our favorite thing. And you know what? That's okay. I think we all understand. But I want to put it to you today that we can actually learn to wait well. We can learn to wait well. Just because we find ourselves waiting in time does not mean we have to be wasting our time. Contrary to what we might think or what we might feel, waiting does not equate to wasting. Waiting in life is inevitable, but wasting your life, that's optional. That's optional. And that's why I've called this message Wait Well, because whether you're a mum today or whether you're any other type of person today, I charge you to determine to be a person that waits well, because I believe that God has given us the tools in life that we need to actually wait well. I want to start by saying God is not threatened by our waiting. He's not. He's not threatened by our waiting. Neither is he limited by our waiting. When you look to his word, you actually see that so many of the characters in the Bible that we love, that we admire, that we look up to, they actually had these long seasons of waiting. Noah, he waited for the rains to start. Abraham and Sarah, they waited for their child. Joshua and Caleb, they waited 40 years to take possession of the promised land. David waited to assume his throne after his anointing. Even Jesus waited. The majority of Jesus' life incarnate on the earth was a time of waiting. Pre-30 years old, he knew that it was not his time, and therefore he waited. They all waited, but although they waited, I don't think anyone would look at their lives and say they were lives wasted. Of course we wouldn't. Quite the opposite. You know, Hebrews 11 tells us that a lot of these characters are actually heroes of our faith. They're heroes of faith. Why? Because they knew how to wait well. They knew how to wait in faith. Even though they were waiting, they kept believing. They held the promise. And I believe that the example of their lives from Scripture actually proved to us that the plans and the purposes of God are not limited because of waiting. They're not, I want to speak it over you, mom, dad, younger person, older person. I want to declare it over your life today. The plans and purposes of God for your life are not limited. It doesn't matter where you might be. It doesn't matter how long your wait might have been. It doesn't matter what season you might find yourself in. They are not limited just because you find yourself waiting. God can do it. God will do it if we purpose to wait well. So what does it actually take to wait well? Well, I want to let you know that there's an invitation that we see in Scripture to wait on the Lord. Scripture invites us to wait on the Lord. The prophet Isaiah, when he was addressing the people of Judah in 700 BC, he says this to them in chapter 40 of the book of Isaiah, verses 28 to 31. It says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is he weary." I wish I didn't get weary. I wish I didn't get weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How beautiful is that scripture? For the Christian, you know, for the believer, we need to get good at waiting on the Lord and fixing our attention on Him. And that starts by realizing that God is with you in your waiting. You might be isolated, but you're not alone. You might be waiting, but God is with you in all of your waiting. Of course He is. He's with you in every moment. He's with you in every season. He doesn't abandon you. Jesus said, "I am always with you, even to the end of the age." Our moms, they sung it so beautifully before, in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing, He is with you. He is with you. To wait on the Lord is to wait in relationship with the Lord. To wait in that place of intimacy, to wait in that place of confidence in His presence. To wait on the Lord is not some passive thing, as some people might think. You don't just sit around waiting for something to suddenly materialize from heaven. You don't just sit around twiddling your thumbs, believing that God will just pour out when He's good and ready. That's not waiting on the Lord. No, to wait on Him is to actually be active in seeking Him. to be active in relying on Him and bringing to Him your passion and bringing to Him your desires and even bringing to Him your frustrations and bringing to Him your pain and those things that are hurting. The scripture says, cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. That's an invitation to come to Him and position your whole self, your whole life before Him as you cultivate dependence on Him. That's what it means to wait on the Lord. Jesus, after His resurrection, he instructed His disciples. He said, wait in Jerusalem, wait until I pour out what the Father has promised. And they went to their upper room, didn't they, on the day of Pentecost and around that time of Pentecost, and they waited on the Lord, but it wasn't a passive waiting. They actually sought Him. They weren't just twiddling their thumbs. They weren't just playing games on their smartphones. They weren't doing anything like that. The scripture says that they joined together constantly in prayer, constantly in supplication. They were waiting on the Lord. And I want to put it to you that as we wait on the Lord, we come to realize that while we are waiting, God is actually working. While we're waiting, God is working. Our waiting is not wasted, because as we wait on Him, He works on us. How good is that? As we wait on Him, He works on us. Isaiah chapter 40, we just read it together. It says, those who wait on the Lord are the ones who renew their strength. They're the ones that rise up with wings like eagles. They're the ones who run and don't grow weary, who walk and don't faint. It's that type of strength. It's that type of capacity is the product of those who wait on Him and let Him work on them. That's what it's all about. And when we wait on Him, and as He works on us, He actually grows us. There's a growing that's happening in our waiting. I want you to think about, you know, maybe baking a cake. There's that time. Who loves baking? Put your hand up out in your own living room if you love baking. I'm not a very good baker, but just go there with me. Imagine there's that time in the process of baking a cake where you have to put the mixture into the oven and then you have to wait. There's this time of waiting. Now, to the undiscerning, that oven time, it might actually look like a waste of time. But to the baker, you understand that the waiting is a critical part of the process. The waiting has to happen. Imagine if the cake could speak while it was in the oven. Imagine if it could talk. It might say something like, why did you put me in here? Why have you shelved me? Why have you put me in this dark place? Why have I been cast aside and discarded, and it's not fair? I see other cakes being tended to. I see other cakes going places, but not me. I've been left. I've been forgotten, and all of these sorts of things. If I was a cake, I might say those sorts of things. But the baker knows. The Creator knows that that kind of talk is nonsense. That kind of talk is rubbish. The baker loves the cake as much as he's ever loved the cake while it's in the oven. The baker cares for it as much as they ever have cared for it. They just simply understand the importance of waiting for the process of growth. The importance of this process, because while it's waiting, the cake is maturing. While it's waiting, the cake is actually rising and it's becoming sweeter and it's becoming more palatable, and all of its flavor is being released while it waits. Yes, it's waiting, but in no way is it wasting. In no way is it wasting time. It's actually growing into what it was supposed to be. It's the same with our lives. So often our lives might look like they're just waiting, but the Lord is working. The Lord is causing you to grow. He's causing you to rise. He's causing you to become sweeter and more palatable. Some of us need to get a little bit sweeter. I need to be a bit sweeter at different times. He takes things away from us that we don't need. He cuts off those issues and habits and different aspects of us that really aren't helpful, and he adds to us the virtues that he needs in us of faithfulness and of increasing trust in him and who he is and that godly character. He does all these things as we wait well and let him work on us. You know, my husband Ken, in the winter months, every morning he likes to wake up and make himself a hot lemon water. That's what he does. I go for the coffee, the decaf. He goes for the hot lemon water. Sometimes he puts in ginger and honey. Other times it's just straight lemon. But in either way, this is what he does most mornings when the weather's cold. So about a year ago, maybe a little bit longer, I had a great idea. I thought, I'm going to buy a lemon tree. I'm going to plant a lemon tree. I'm thinking, how good would it be instead of having to always buy lemons or steal them off the neighborhood trees? Sometimes I ask. How good would it be to have our own supply of lemons? So this is what I did. I bought a little lemon tree from Bunnings and I planted it, and I was pretty proud of my efforts. It was just a month ago, or maybe two, Ken and I were both outside, and I looked at our lemon tree, and I got all excited. I was like, look, baby, look. As I noticed, our lemon tree had like more than doubled in size. It had this great period of growth. It had gone from like about 2 foot to about 5 foot. And I felt so proud. In fact, I've got a photo. They're going to put it up for you now so you can see what I'm talking about. But the problem was, Ken and I being outside, I'm there celebrating. He looked disgusted. He was not sharing my enthusiasm whatsoever. And he said, I'm going to be like a 60-year-old man before that thing ever gives me any fruit. I'm like, talk about raining on my parade. But he was probably right. You know, it is a little bit pathetic, you know. But that whole encounter got me thinking, in order to bear fruit, there has to be a process. In order to bear fruit, there has to be a wait. Fruit doesn't happen overnight. Fruit takes time. Fruitfulness takes time. It's true in lemon trees. I've got the proof. But it's also true in our lives. So often we're hungry for fruitfulness. We want the fruit of flourishing ministries. We want the fruit of our hearts healed and whole. We want the fruit of that promise fulfilled, or all these sorts of things. We want it, and it's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing, but there's a process. There's a process. There's a wait. We have to learn to wait well. The truth is, my little lemon tree isn't ready to bear the kind of fruit that we want it to bear. You know, its branches would break. It would strain under the weight of the harvest to the point of damage. It has to wait through the process of growth and the process of preparation so that it can bear the fruit. So often the same is true of our lives. We have to undergo a process of preparation in order to become the people that God wants us to be and bear the fruit that he wants us to bear and even carry the things that he wants us to carry. I just want to speak to you, if you're watching this stream right now, to a mom, to a dad, whoever you are watching, don't despise the waiting. And whatever you do, don't quit in the waiting, because when you wait well, God is working. Let him do his work. Let him do what he needs to do, and you will find that he will grow you, and you will find that he will prepare you to bear the kind of fruit that he wants you to bear. The Bible doesn't just say wait on the Lord, but it also says wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. It doesn't say that we should wait for a particular outcome. It doesn't say that we should wait for a person. It doesn't say that we should wait for a shift in circumstance. It doesn't say that we should wait for any of these things. It says wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. There's so many people who are waiting for someone or waiting for something. They hitch their hopes onto things that are unstable. You know, the artist John Mayer, he sings this song, "We keep waiting, waiting, waiting for the world to change." Should I sing it? I'm not going to sing it. But we keep waiting for the world to change. You probably know that song, and it might be a good song, but I think it's a bad idea. I think it's a bad way to live your life, just waiting for the world to change, because who knows, you and I have no control over the world. We can't actually control the outcomes. If we are waiting for the world to change, we could be waiting for a very, very long time. Rather than waiting for the world to change, we need to get good at waiting for the Lord, waiting for the one who can actually change our world. Waiting for him is like trusting in him, like telling him that you know best. Waiting for him is relinquishing control of the outcomes and allowing him to direct the outcome. There's a beautiful psalm, Psalm 130, verse 5 and 6. I love this. It says, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. That's not a typo. The psalm actually repeats that line. More than watchmen wait for the morning. To wait on the Lord is to wait with intimacy, but to wait for the Lord is to wait with expectation. It's to wait with expectation. When I'm waiting for the Lord, there comes an expectation in me that he's going to come through for me as I wait for him. And the psalmist uses this most beautiful imagery. He says, I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. Who are these watchmen? Commentators actually speculate that they might have been like military people, military guards, or they say maybe these watchmen were priests who were waiting for the morning so that they could perform their sacrifices, their morning sacrifices. It doesn't matter. Whoever these watchmen were, they had an expectation that morning was coming. At no point did the watchman ever doubt if the morning would come. They simply watched for when the morning would come. And the psalmist says, this is the manner in which I wait for the Lord, more than watchmen wait for the morning. In other words, I wait with great expectation. I wait, not if God's going to come through for me, but I'd simply wait for when he will come through for me. He is, after all, God Almighty. He is, after all, our faithful God. The Bible tells us that all of his promises are yes in Christ. He is faithful and his word is true and his promises never fail. I love the idea of watchmen waiting for the morning because it implicates that they were waiting in the dark. It implicates that it was nighttime, that there was darkness all around them as they waited and as they watched. And I think that that's a beautiful picture because some of the times of our waiting in life are actually dark times. They're actually hard times. They're actually seasons that are challenging and that we find that we're struggling in and struggling through. I think back on some of my own times of waiting, and they have been dark and they have been challenging, but in the passage of time, God has proven himself over and over and over again that he is good and he is faithful. And as sure as the sun rises, God comes through. I want to speak it over your life. As surely as the sun rises, if you would wait for him, he will come through for you. Isn't that beautiful? You know, things might not happen in the way that you would want them to happen. And they might not end up looking like the way you thought that they might look like. But nonetheless, whatever it looks like, if it's come to you from God, it will always be good. It'll always be good. Psalm 36 says this. It says, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the skies. And I want to minister to that to you this morning, today, whoever you are, wherever you're watching, that there's nothing and that there's no one that can overwhelm the love and the faithfulness of God in your life. There is no weight that you might be going through that can conquer the love and the faithfulness of God in your world if you would just determine to wait on Him and wait for Him. Amen. Amen. I hope that's blessed you today. We're just going to change gears for just a moment. And I just want to address you, whoever you might be right now, and you don't know Jesus. You've never prayed a prayer to invite Jesus to come and be the Lord and Savior of your life. You've never made your peace with God by asking Jesus to come in. And I want to give you an opportunity right now, if that is you, to change that today. You can pray a prayer of faith right where you're at, and you can start a relationship with God today that'll change your life. You can have an assurance and a confidence that your sins are forgiven, that your past is forgotten, and that your eternity is secure and assured with Him. God loves you so much. The Bible's very clear that God loves humanity. He's not angry at you. He knows what you've done. He still loves you. He sent Jesus Christ to earth to make a way for us to have a relationship with Him. Jesus was the perfect Son of God. He lived a difficult existence on earth as we do. But He remained perfect. He was sin-free, and He went to the cross in that perfect state. He died for our sin. He took upon His own body the punishment that was rightfully yours and rightfully mine. But God rose Him from the dead. He didn't stay dead, and He conquered death, and He conquered sin, so that anybody who believes in Him, anybody who believes that He is who He says He is, and He did what He said He did, can have everlasting life, can have life with God, can be forgiven and restored and made clean. There might be some people right now and you're saying, I do believe and I want to receive. I want to make my peace with God. I want to have that assurance that God is with me and God is for me. And if that's you right now, I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to pray with you. The way this is going to work, I'll say a line and you repeat after me. And by faith, this is your moment. By faith, everything changes today. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus. I believe He's the Son of God. I believe He died. I believe He rose again so that I could have a relationship with You. And right now I ask that You come into my life. I admit that I'm a sinner, that I've done life my own way. Forgive my sins. Cleanse me from my past. Come into my life. Make me new. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That is so wonderful. Hey, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time today, or maybe for the first time in a really long time, we're just cheering for you. We're celebrating you. We're celebrating the decision that you just made. That is incredible. And we don't want you to have to do the Jesus journey alone. So you can go to our website, and we've actually got a free resource pack for you. You just go to nationschurch.com/mydecision, and you'll find that we've got a Bible for you, we've got information for you, we've got pastors who are ready and waiting to meet you. We don't want you to do it alone. That is so good. That is so good. For the rest of the church, Nations Church, wherever you're joining from, come on, let's just engage with the Lord, because we're not done yet. If you're in a season of waiting, and I think so many of us are right now with this whole coronavirus global pandemic, if you're in a season of waiting, I want to pray for you in your waiting. I just want to ask you a question. Are you waiting well? Are you waiting well? Are you waiting on the Lord? Are you waiting for the Lord? Are you just waiting and allowing Him to work on you while you wait? Or are you waiting for a situation to shift? Are you waiting for, are you placing your expectation on a person? Are you placing your hope in a thing? Are you placing your hope and your expectation on a situation or a circumstance to shift? I say to you today, would you stop? Would you stop? And would you redirect your gaze? And would you redirect your focus? Would you redirect your expectation onto the Lord? Would you wait for Him again today? Would you wait for Him? Because as surely as you wait for Him, He's going to come through for you right now, right where you're at. If you know the Lord's speaking to you, just raise your hands in the presence of the Lord.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.